Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, I welcome you to this recording. This is probably going to be right around recording number 10 as far as our study of the letter P. And I thank you for joining in again and honoring the Lord and honoring His Word. When we honor the Lord in our lives and honor His Word, the Lord honors us back. I know that if you've had any time of being a Christian, then you know that the Lord honors His Word and He honors those that honor His Word. You can tell in the Bible, if you look at history in the Scriptures and the nation of Israel and the troubles that they had, and all the other, well, not all of them, but a majority of the instances where people turned against God's Word and turned their back or their shoulder to God's Word, they started having troubles. And you can take that individually. You can take that corporately. You can take that family. You can take that as far as government. You can take that countrywide. You can take that nationwide. When a people turn their back and their shoulder against the Word of God, and it begins in the heart before the shoulder moves, you know that. But when a people or an individual turns their back or their shoulder on the Word of God, then trouble's going to be coming. You can count on it. Don't think it might happen. Expect it. When you turn the Word of God down and you turn your back to the Word of God and you despise the Word of God, the Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it was Proverbs chapter 13:13, whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. And as soon as you turn your back on the Word of God, when I was running that camp up there for troubled men, the main thing, there ain't nothing to helping people. You can help anybody with anything. And that's why the government and psychologists and all these other attempts to try to solve all these drug problems and drinking problems and marital problems and problems, trying to solve all this stuff without the Word of God is vain. It's meaningless. All you're doing is whitewashing things, and you're not even doing that. It lasts about as long as it takes to get back home. The Word of God is what changes people. The Bible says, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." If you want change and you want to help somebody change, now get this. I know what I'm talking about. Do you? And I don't mean that in a bad way. What I mean is, if you know what I'm saying here, then you agree with what I'm saying because it's true. You cannot change anybody. Nobody is going to change unless they feel that they have a liability in it. And the Bible is very good at that. God's Word is very good at laying it out there and telling you the truth and telling you, and there ain't no confusion in it. When you lay that Bible and lay God's Word out there in front of somebody, it examines that heart and examines the truth in that person, and it puts it right in their face, and then they got a decision to make. They come to a crossroads about a decision they're going to make. It ain't a bunch of, you feel sorry for you, and you grew up bad, and you was born backwards, and all this kind of gobbledygook that goes on in the world today, and just make it to where somebody needs their diaper pulled up. But the Word of God is it. The Word of God is it. And I said all that to say this. Thank you for studying the Word of God. You won't ever be sorry for being in your Bible. It'll bring you to repentance. It will correct you when you need correcting. It will admonish you when you need admonishing. It'll pick you up, lift you up, encourage you. It tells you the truth. God tells you the truth, and He gives you tenderness. The Lord is tenderhearted. He'll whip the fire out of you when you need it, and He will meet you face to face if you need it. But God's Word is wonderful. It is beautiful. And if you study in the Word of God right now, is the best thing that you can do in your life and being in this body is the very best thing that you can do. You want to talk about good fortune? You want to talk about having everything that you need, all sufficiency in all things? You want to talk about worrying about your problems and the things that you think and the things that are in your heart and all of that? You're on top of it if you're in that Bible and you're studying God's Word, because God's Word will take care of it for you. I can't tell you how it does it. I can tell you what the Bible says, how God the Holy Ghost works through the Word of God in us and makes the changes. But He does. He does. And I'm speaking from experience. I ain't arrived nowhere, but I know where I've been. And I can testify to every one of you right now that God's Word does it. And it did it before it met me. There's millions and millions of people been through, been born and died already and gone off to be with the Lord that can testify and are still testifying that God's Word is alive and that it works and that it is the remedy for man's problems. So, saying all that, thank you for studying the Word of God today, okay? Now, what we're going to do is get back into our study of prayer, and I'm going to try to make this the last lesson, okay? If I can keep from running my mouth so much and just stay right near the rabbit hole, you know, and not get too far. But I'm just going to brush over some of the things that we've already been over, and I hope if you're keeping notes or however you're doing this, just listening, everything is the right way when you're studying the Word of God. You're not making any mistakes about doing anything or doing it wrong. If you're in the Word of God, God the Holy Ghost is going to honor you, and He's going to make it work for you. We're talking about prayer. Study number 16, the letter P, in our ABCs of Christian growth. Now, in our ABC study, we're not trying to get off into great big deep things, and there are some very deep things. You're talking about God. Now, how deep can God think? I mean, there's a lot of men out there that think that they can correct God and women, and that they can tell God where He made mistakes and blabbity blab and all that kind of stuff. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Don't ever correct God. Don't ever correct His Word, ever. We're talking about despising His Word. And what if you wrote a letter before you died to your children and you wanted it, you wrote it down and you put all the commas and the apostrophes and the sentences the way you wanted them, and you got this letter all written out for your children and you wanted them to have it exactly the way that you felt about it because they knew you and they knew what you meant when you said every word, and you wrote this long letter out and then you left it and you expected your children to be able to read it exactly the way that you put it so that they would get the exact meaning of what you meant, because you're not going to be able to say anything. Your words are written down. And then comes along, you pass it along, and then the guys that are going to give it to your children, they decide that they're going to take it and change it. They say, well, you know, I mean, it would be better if it sounded like this. And it's more proper for you to say this than it is this today. And they go through and make all these changes in your letter that you're giving to the ones that you love and that you want to know what you mean by what you say and all this kind of stuff. Would you approve of that? Nor does God. Okay? Now, in prayer, we've talked about what is prayer. We talked about that. What is prayer? We talked about why should I pray. We talked about how do I pray. We went through the scriptures, and that's one thing that's very important, and I love about this study right here of the ABCs of Christian growth. As long as you're studying here, you're never going to hear any other kind. You're going to hear it from the scriptures. You're going to have scripture to back everything that we talk about up, okay? Now, when should I pray, we talked about. We talked about where should I pray. We talked about personal requirements needed to get prayers answered. We talked about things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. We talked about that. And we also talked about things that we can and that we should pray for. Things that we should pray for. I hope your prayer life's getting just a little bit better, and I hope, well, you know, I mean, it'll get as good as you want it to be. And the Lord also will honor you for trying. And it takes effort to pray, doesn't it? I mean, you've probably, since you've been in the study, you've tried to make an effort to pray, and maybe even set you a schedule to pray, or maybe just, I mean, it takes effort. Can you feel? Don't you know that the enemy's fighting against you? Can you tell that? He hates prayer. Every time you go to prayer, now maybe not every time, but when you go to prayer, most of the time, the enemy is going to fight you. He's going to try to keep you from doing that, and you just expect that. Just expect attack when you go to pray, because that he's going to do everything he can to try to stop you. You wouldn't believe the resistance that I've been getting to sit down and do this study. I mentioned it in one of our other studies, but you would not believe the things that are happening that try to keep me from sitting down and doing these studies about prayer. And all that tells me is that the enemy hates it, and it's one of the most important things that should be in my life. If the enemy goes to all the trouble he goes to try to stop me from praying, there must be something to it, huh? And the more that the Lord's teaching me how to pray, the more I'm finding out that it's necessary, and that it's a benefit to me, and that it does matter about my relationship. It has to do with my relationship with the Lord. It gives me a better walk during the day. It makes me feel a lot more secure with the Lord, just whole bunches of benefits in it. A child of God's prayer should be with what? Now, that's where we stopped, and we're going to pick up right there, and we're going to talk about a child of God's prayer should be with. In other words, there are some requirements that are required for the child of God when they're praying that should be included in the prayer, and we're going to talk about some of that. So let's go ahead and get busy with the scriptures. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, in that verse right there, we're talking about what is required. What is the Lord telling us? The Lord Jesus Christ talking there. What's the Lord talking about that should be included in our prayer? What is he mentioning there in that verse? "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." What should be a requirement for a child included in a child of God's prayer there? Well, forgiveness, a forgiving spirit, right? Do you think that you can pray properly, that we can pray properly, and that we can... Now, I'm not saying that you can't pray and that the Lord won't hear you if you're holding a grudge against somebody. But what I am saying, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're... Some forgiveness is harder to get accomplished than other forgiveness. I mean, somebody cusses you out, you can forgive that. I mean, you can forgive. But if somebody really done something really horrible to you, I mean, there are different, degrees of offense. And but really, forgiveness is just a flip of the switch. It either is or it is not. But it's the working in our heart to make that forgiveness happen and sorting things out. And we as humans like to get everything just right in our heart and put up on the shelf so it don't backfire on us. But forgiveness is not like that. Forgiveness, when you forgive somebody, whether it be a small offense or whether it be something that is just tragedy, it's a flip of the switch, and it's a matter of making a decision. But we like to have things sorted out and everything in its own place in our hearts so that it doesn't backfire on us. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is sticking your neck out. Forgiveness is trusting the Lord that when you follow what He says, that nobody's going to take advantage of you when you offer the forgiveness, when you in your heart give the forgiveness and change your heart about it. you have to stick your neck out. And that's what's scary about it. But the Lord said to do it. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that's the way God is. And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. And when it comes to our prayer, if you don't have a forgiven spirit and you go to prayer to talk to your Heavenly Father and you're holding a grudge and you got hate in your heart and you're despising somebody and all that, I mean, what's your prayer going to be like? Come on. How can you confidently how can you talk to your Heavenly Father and with your mouth and with your mind and with your heart when you're sitting there and that old dirty stuff is just floating around in your heart and you're trying to hide it at the same time? You see, so we got to have a forgiving spirit. One of the requirements to pray and to talk with the Lord should be with a forgiving spirit. Another one is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6. Let me read that. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, what would be something that we should include or something that's required with our prayers? According to this verse, simplicity. Our prayers should be simplistic. They should be from our heart, genuine, authentic, and in such a way to where you could go be by yourself and talk to the Lord, and you're not putting on a big old show and standing in front of everybody so they notice how God favors you. You see, that's not, our prayers should be simple. They should be, and that's the way to talk to the Lord, just like we talk to each other, like we're talking to each other now. Just, we sit and listen to each other, and we put our input in. The Lord puts His input in, and we get things said and things straightened out. And sometimes you just want to chat with the Lord, you know. But there's a lot in this life that gets in our way from chatting with the Lord on purpose. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world gets in your way from talking with the Lord. The devil gets in our way, and all the unclean spirits get in our way from doing that, and our flesh. Our flesh gets in our way from talking with the Lord. But when we do talk with Him, it should be simple. Simplicity. Nothing complicated about it, and definitely nothing showy talking with the Lord. Now, we are told, and we've studied already in this study, that we pray in groups and we pray together, and the Lord encourages that. And there's sometimes when we pray together, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together, the Lord takes it even more seriously. He sees that it's more important, and the Lord sees it that way. He said so. So there's nothing wrong with praying with each other, but not to be a stinking show-off. And not to make somebody think that you're more holy than you really are. Because we all know better, don't we? We all know better because we have mirrors. Isn't that right? Okay, so there's another one. Simplicity. A requirement when we're praying and we're talking with the Lord is to be simplistic. Another one is found in Luke chapter 18. That's not all. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. This is in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's what Jesus said about that. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now that's what God says. And we know that to be true. So another thing that should, requirement that's in our prayers when we pray is humility. Humility and repentance. Humility. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Lord said before honor is humility. The Lord loves humility because, you know, it's very rare. Now, there is such thing, but it's most of the time you can detect it right away is fake humility. You can call out fake humility in just any time. It's hard to fake that. But true humility puts things in order right away. It puts everybody at peace, everybody at rest, and it puts everything in order where it should be. Humility does. Humility really does nothing but good. I ain't never seen nothing bad come out of genuine humility, have you? When you see somebody that's humble, genuinely humble, with humility, no matter what it's about, what does that lead your heart to do right away? Does it make you want to jump on them and rebuke them? No. It makes you want to reach out to them and help them, doesn't it? Humility does that. It's beautiful. But the Bible says that he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we find out, the more we figure out in our lives, it's not us that we want to be exalted anyway. It's our Lord. We want our lives to be in such a way to where it gives glory to the Lord. What disappoints us when we're walking with the Lord is that we disappoint the Lord and we bring shame to his name. That's what really breaks our hearts when we get to know him and get to talking to him. We don't want to bring any kind of we don't want to tarnish the Lord's name or his character or who he is in any way because of our behavior and because of our being. We want to glorify him and exalt him and lift him up, not because we want people to see us. We want people to see him. Isn't that beautiful? And because he's worthy and he deserves it. He deserves it. Another thing that's required, that's not all, that is required in us whenever we go to prayer is in Matthew chapter 18. Let me read that. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now let's get this straight. To begin with, these are Christians that are praying. Okay, and when two or three are gathered together praying as Christians and children of God, the Holy Ghost is already there. He's dwelling in each of you. He's there. But the thing about what the Lord's talking about there is that whenever two or three, instead of just praying by yourself, there's two or three of you that have the same burden for whatever it is that you want to pray about. And you think it important enough for more than one of you to get together and talk with the Lord about it. The Lord sees that it's more important than just one person praying, which he's not saying that three people praying is more important than one, but a volume of people, more than one person praying, the Bible teaches that it inspires, that it does something to the Lord. The Lord listens. I don't know if he listens more closely, or I don't think it's that. I think it's that It's kind of like when you're standing there and say you're standing in your front yard and one person runs down to your front yard and starts saying something versus five people running down to your yards and pointing in a direction and saying something. Just because it's five will make you be a little bit more alert and more attentive. I think that's what the Lord's talking about here, is that where he's not talking about that he shows up. That if one, I mean, when you're praying, does that mean when you're praying by yourself that the Lord doesn't show up? That's foolish. That's stupid. What he's saying is that where two or three are gathered together concerning something, he said, there I'm in the midst of it. I'm listening to it. I'm paying attention. And he wants you to know that it's okay for you to pray two or three gathered together about these matters, about anything. So, what's the answer there? What should be required in our prayers? Unity. The unity of believers. The Lord talks about the body. There's no unity in the world, and that's what the world's trying to do right now. Say, everybody come together. And they've been trying that since Adam. And it ain't worked yet. It ain't worked yet. They tried it at Babel. That's the first time men started coming together. God had to confuse their languages. Remember that? After Noah landed and the earth dried up, what'd they start doing? Blah, blah, blah. That's the way man does. Okay, the Lord does talk about unity, but he talks about unity of the believers, of the body of Christ, of the church. He's not talking about the world. There's no unity in the world. Where do you get that from? There's unity about their sin. They defend their sin together, and they defend their right to be ungodly, and defend anything that will put God and His Word away. Yeah, but that's not for the purpose of unity. That's for the purpose of selfishness and wanting my sin. That's what that's all about. But unity of the believers. That's a requirement. That's something that we should have when a child of God prays. That should be, when he prays, that should be with his prayer, is unity. Unity. Luke chapter 18, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Here's another one that's important to be in our prayers. And what's that? What would you say that is? Tenacity. Tenacious. In other words, you are continually knocking at the doors. Like this, the Lord compared it to this woman aggravating this king to death, and he didn't even care about God or anything having to what was right and wrong. He said, because this woman aggravating me to death, I'm going to do something about it. But the Lord said, if an unjust judge will get aggravated from somebody keeping on him about helping her out, that he'll just do it because just to get her off his back. But he says, now look who you're talking about. He said, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and then see how he does and how he thinks when the woman keeps on asking. And then he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? You got things troubling you? Have you been talking to the Lord about it? The Lord said, and shall not God avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night? He said, yes, I will. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And I'm telling you, I can say that. Tenacity, being tenacious about your prayers to the Lord and about getting something answered and about getting your troubles taken care of. Let me give you a warning about this too. I have prayed. Somebody done something pretty bad to me one time, and I didn't try to avenge myself, and that was hard. But I did pray, and I prayed like I had never prayed before. I prayed and learned how something about prayer that time. But I asked the Lord to defend me and to do something about it. And by the time the Lord finished doing what he was doing and showing me that he was taking care of me and that he cared about what I said to him, he proved to me that he will answer immediately and that he does avenge us and he will take up for us. And the Bible says it's a righteous thing with God to recompense them that trouble you. God takes pleasure in and thinks that it is right for him to take up for you whenever people are troubling you. And I said all that to say this. It'll get to the point to where God will defend. The Lord is so jealous that he will defend you to the point to where you'll say, Lord, I didn't mean all of that. In other words, when you see the Lord taking up for you with your enemy or with the people that are troubling you and you pray against them, you'll eventually be careful about what you ask the Lord against your enemy because you see that the Lord will avenge you. And you'll say, Lord, I didn't mean all that. But the Lord, he counts it a righteous thing to avenge you. I think that's wonderful, and I love him for that, because I love him taking up for me, don't you? But tenacious. This woman was asking a judge that didn't think about God and didn't think about right and wrong and blah, blah, blah. She was just aggravating him to death. And she got him to back. She got him to do what she needed to do. But God cares about us, and he loves us, and he's righteous, and he makes the right decisions all the time. That's what righteousness is. Is doing the right thing all the time. And God is righteous all the time. And he sees that when we're having trouble and we pray to him and we pray to him in a tenacious way with tenacity, he'll avenge you. And eventually you'll come to the point where you'll be careful about praying against your enemies. You'll be sure about what you say. It'll fix your prayer and turn your prayer into a more caring and heart-oriented prayer rather than a get him, God. I prayed that before. I was out street preaching one time on the side of the street in the middle of Tallahassee, and some college students come by and run their car over against the curb and hung out the window and threw ice, bombarded me with ice cubes and water. And when I turned around, they was going around the corner, and I said, get them, God, kill them. But you learn how to pray. Tenacious. That's another requirement that goes along with our prayer when we're talking with the Lord and trying to pray. There's some other things. Luke chapter 11, the Bible says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in a journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me, or with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now, we was talking about tenacious, but this is another example of continually praying, and this was a friend coming to a friend's house and knocking on the door, and he wouldn't get up and give him the bread he needed so he could take care of this problem with his friends coming to visit. And he just kept on knocking and kept on knocking and kept on knocking. That's called importunity. The Bible used that, and it used that word. It said, it said he wouldn't knock and open, he said the door was shut and the children in bed with me. He said, I cannot rise and give thee. Well, of course he could have. He said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, that's Bible. That's what the Bible said, and it's true, isn't it? It's called importunity. In other words, Lord, are you listening? I need to talk to you, Lord. Lord. That's it. Importunity. The Bible says that should be part of our prayers. He's given us an example in Luke chapter 11 right there about importunity. Now, I don't think we can aggravate the Lord with our prayers. The Lord tells us to come boldly to his throne, and that's not the Lord's... I had a problem with that and trying to figure it out what the Lord was talking about there. Why would the Lord encourage me to come and aggravate him? I hate being aggravated. I hate for people to stay on me and bother me over and 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 won't leave me alone about something. And I thought, well, if I'm that way, then the Lord must be that way, you know. But the Lord says, importunity, keep on coming. But he's not saying come to aggravate him. I don't think we can aggravate the Lord except with sin and disobedience. But if we're coming as children and we're coming in the body, coming as a child of God, and he's our Heavenly Father that loves us and wants us to come talk to him, I think what he's trying to do is encourage us that that if we'll just, Lord, then the Lord will appreciate that. And the Lord Jesus is telling us that... I think the Lord's telling us that the Lord, I don't think it has to do with aggravating. Like the Lord used an example there about aggravating. He said his friend, but his friend wasn't not being unfriendly. He just kept knocking on the door to get something done. He had some friends over there waiting to eat, you see, and he needed the bread. Get up and give me the bread. But he wouldn't get up because he was his friend, but he got up because he kept knocking. But the Lord says that it makes a difference. I don't understand exactly what he means by it, but he said if we keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking, it makes a difference. That's what he said. That's what he said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So, according to that verse, what would be something that we could, or something that a child of God's prayer should be with? We see that the Lord talking about if we knock, it'll be open. If we seek, we'll find. And if we ask, we receive. And he said that. He said, if your son or your children ask you for something to eat, you're not going to give them a rock and say, here, eat that. You're not going to do that. And the Lord said also that if he asks a fish of you or something to eat like fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. And he said, and this is another thing for us to remember, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ said this about us. If ye then, being evil... Did you hear that? Did you hear what the Lord said? the Lord said, not your behavior. He said, what you are. The Lord was talking to human beings, and the Lord knew. By another place, the Bible says the Lord knows what's in man. Knows what's in man. And this is what he's talking about. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? What would you say another thing would be? How about intensity? Being intense, as far as we're talking about a lot of similar things here, but they're different in according to the scriptures in certain ways. Tenacity, importunity, and intensity. The Lord said, if you ask, it shall be given you. Seek, talking about asking and seeking and looking for something, that you're going to find it. And if you're knocking, the door's going to be open. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be open. So, seeking it with intensity, being intense about it. Well, if he does, he fine, and if he doesn't, fine. And I mean, there's a way and a time for that, but we're talking about getting prayers answered. We're talking about praying. Does it matter to the Lord if we come to him and we need something, need him to pay an attention? Does it matter about getting his attention? Does it matter for us to try to get the Lord's attention, to ask about something, to seek about something, and to knock about something? Does it matter? Well, Jesus says it does. The more intense we are about it, the more the Lord takes it that way, I guess. That's what the Bible says. So, I've been, I mean, it's there's not, somebody riding down the road, when I was up in Pennsylvania, they had a couple pileups on the interstate up there on 79 because of the snow. And when you have a whiteout and you can't see anybody, it scares the daylights out of you because you're going down a snow-covered highway anyway, and you got cars and semis and everything else all around you. And you're riding down the road, and then all of a sudden somebody gets scared and stops, and there's a whiteout, and the people behind you can't see you, and the people behind them can't see them. And people start piling up and crashing into each other. And I mean, 70, 100 cars at a time coming in there. And then some dummies riding down the road doing 50 miles, 60 miles an hour in a semi and other things. I mean, it happens. But if you're riding down the road and all of a sudden you see you fixing a crash, I mean, is there any intensity in your prayer right then? And would you appreciate it if the Lord immediately heard the difference in your voice as far as it being intense or being kind of la, la, la? Of course you would. There is a difference in the tone of your prayer. That's what the Bible says. So, yeah, intensity. There's another one. We find it in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you. Now, I didn't know there's so much talking about prayer, did you? It's pretty good, isn't it? Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray. He didn't say you had to pray, he said when ye pray. Whatsoever things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, of course, the Lord's talking about things that are according to his will. But he didn't put any limits or parentheses on anything in that verse. He said, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, that's what the Lord said. So, what would be a thing that we could add on to our prayers, or should be part of our prayers, or an ingredient in our prayer? According to that verse, how about expectation? that we trust the Lord so much and believe in His Word and believe that He wants to give us all good things like He says He does. He said, no good thing would the Lord withhold from them that ask and them that love Him. Do you love the Lord? Are you willing to ask Him for things? I mean directly. Lord, I need a car. And this is the reason I need a car. I need a car. He said, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. In other words, you're not trying to talk yourself into something, into believing. I always say this when I'm praying, and I believe that God can give me anything He wants to. I believe He has the power to do it, and He has the ability to do it, and He can arrange it any way He wants to. I believe that with all my heart. But what I don't know when I'm praying is whether or not God wants to give it to me. And if He don't want to give it to me, then how do I pray believing? You see, that's the kind of stuff that my head comes up with. But the Bible, that's why we should just stay with the Word of God and just trust God's Word of what He says. And I think what the Lord's talking about there is that we believe Him and believe in Him in such a way to where it says, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In other words, if we are legitimate about what we're, and we love and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and believe that we're actually, that He's listening to us when we're talking to Him. And you're in such a way in a relationship with Him that when you talk to Him, that you believe that He'll give it to you and you expect Him to love you enough to help you out, that He will. Now, have you ever asked the Lord for something and you didn't get it? Did you believe that God could give it to you if you wanted Him to give it to you? If He wanted to give it to you, of course. I ain't got all that worked out in a fine line yet in my mind, but I believe the Lord. And I believe the Lord can do anything He wants to do, anytime He wants to do it, and I've seen Him do it. He's done it with me. Yeah, I mean, there's been sometimes the Lord's done something through. The Bible says the Lord knows what you have need of before you ask. And sometimes, you know, I mean, the Lord does things so immediate for me that I'm confused about the matter, and I don't even know whether I believe that He would give it to me, but I must have because He gave it to me and gave it to me immediately. And I'm saying, Lord, how did you know? You know, I'm the mixed up one. God's not mixed up. He's not mixed up. I'm mixed up. I mean, I ain't none of y'all out there that can understand what I'm talking about. I'm the only one that's got a head like this, right? Okay, but I'm still learning about this praying. I told you that. But we're talking about what God says. He said, if you will pray to Him, He said, and whatsoever things you desire. Now, that's desiring. What do you desire? But if you're walking according to God's will, you'll ask according to His will because your heart is like His heart, and you won't ask for nothing stupid or ungodly or wicked. Who would ask God for that kind of stuff anyway? We're asking for things as children of God, like your children would come up and ask you for. Your children, when they come up to ask you for something they desire, when they pray, when they come and ask you, they believe that they'll receive them. If they believe when they're coming to ask you that you'll give it to them if it's the right thing. Right? That's the same thing the Lord's talking about. That we believe our Heavenly Father as far as being in His family, being part of His family, that when we come to Him, that He's going to treat us like He is our Father. And He does. And He does. So, Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's what the Bible says. And I can testify that I have prayed and that I have believed that the Lord could give it to me. I didn't know whether he wanted to or not, and I don't know how to discern that, but I knew that he could give it, and I believed that he'd give it to me, that he could give it to me. It was the right thing, and he did. And then I was ashamed because I didn't know whether I really believed him or not. And I'm trying to get that thing straightened out, but I don't know how to do it. The Holy Ghost teaches me all these things. So maybe you can help me. If you know the answer, get on, email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com and tell me, help me out with that. But let's move on. A child of God's prayer should be with also Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. One of the requirements or ingredients in our prayer. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You ever heard somebody pray like that? I mean, usually when you pray, and then we try not to be judgmental about people's prayers because we really don't know their hearts. But you can tell. Yes, you can. And somebody, you can tell whether somebody's sincere in their prayer, and you can tell when somebody's praying to where it puts you in fear about their prayer because you know they got a hold of God. But the Lord said, when we pray, use not vain repetition. What is vain repetition? My father beat your father at dominoes. You say the same old thing, the same old time, the same old hour, the same old way, the same old this, the same old that, and it don't mean squat. The roaches ain't even listening to it. Use not vain. What's vain? What's vanity? Meaningless. It counts for nothing. Use not vain repetitions. Now receive the blessing. Vain repetition. And the Lord compared it to who does it? As the heathen do. What's a heathen? Somebody that's against God. Somebody that doesn't believe in God or have anything to do with God. As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think the amount of words that you say, and you add all of them up, that it's going to mean something to the Lord. It don't mean squat. So what would be a requirement? How about without praying without many words? You ain't got to say a whole bunch of things, you know, and the devil tries to trick us into that. You ain't got to say a whole bunch of things for God to understand. Because God, the Holy Ghost, takes the things of our heart, not necessarily from our mouth. He takes the words from our heart to the Lord, and he puts them in such a way to where the Lord can understand them, and takes those to the throne. So all the words coming out of your mouth, that's all they are, is just noise in the air wherever you're at. Ain't got nothing to do with talking with the Lord. We speak to the Lord from our heart. Those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You know these three words. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. One of the ingredients in our prayer should be that we don't quit. That we don't quit. If you're in God's family, you don't quit being in his family. And he don't quit being your heavenly father. The Lord's not going to quit us. It says he can't deny himself. He's going to be faithful to us, whether no matter how long it takes us to learn what we need to learn. But being a Christian is a learning process. It's becoming like Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Ghost is faithful to teach us, as we will let him. And if we have to go, if we have to back up and go back through the class again, then we back up and go back through the class. And yours truly has had to go through a couple classes like that, a couple times. But once you get it, you got it. And you can move on. But being a Christian's not easy. Now, you know, all these people talk about what they know about Christianity and what they know about being a Christian and what they know about this and the Bible and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blab. I welcome anybody to come and tell me about what Christianity's about. Come and tell me, man. Teach me. You know more about Christianity than I do. You know more about it. Come teach me. I want to learn. But most of the time, you don't get any response to that. Most people don't talk about being a Christian and yapping about being a Christian. They ain't got no idea what they're talking about. Because real Christians don't have time to be sitting around bragging about Christianity. Christianity is being in a family and watching out for your Heavenly Father and keep giving Him a good name and learning all the rules of the family and what He is and what is not and what's expected and what's not expected and the way you should behave and the way you shouldn't behave and who you should hang around with and who you shouldn't hang around with and every bit of that being filtered through your heart for sincerity and truthful purposes. Making you the person like your Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're not going to finish this today, but I think I will stop right there. We've been talking about requirements. A child of God's prayer should be with, talking about some ingredients that should be in our prayers. And it's good stuff, isn't it? We talked about forgiving, simplicity, humility, unity, tenacity, importunity, intensity, expectation, and not using many words. You can talk as much as you want to and use all the words that you want to and just talk. But, the Lord says that even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as wise. It's not necessarily the amount of words that you use that makes you sound smart and makes you be a sincere person in prayer. There's been a lot of people that have just opened their mouth and said, "Lord, help." Like Peter, remember? When he stepped out of that boat, he didn't go into no long, drawn-out prayer, "My Father be Joe." He said, "Lord, help. Save me." And that was it. And the Lord answered him immediately. And then, without ceasing, don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Prayer's hard, but not always. But prayer is something that you're going to do on purpose probably the rest of the time that we're here on this earth and in the body. It's going to be something that you're going to do on purpose, and not because you are doing something wrong, but because you have so many enemies that hate you for praying. But do it anyway. Don't quit. Let me give you the scriptures for this here, okay? You got your pencils? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And the last one we talked about today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. My brothers and sisters, when you're sitting there and not doing anything, you got these verses down, just back up and turn to every one of them verses and just read it again and solidify that. Get that in your mind. Get God's word in your mind. One of the best things after one of these lessons or something, when you get you a cup of coffee or something, come sit down and read over them verses again. And everything that we've talked about, it'll go ahead and just mash it down in that heart and just put it there and keep it there. And that's what we want. So anyway, thank you for listening today, and we're going to have another lesson on prayer, it looks like, and that's okay, because I got a lot to learn about prayer, and if any of y'all can teach me, and I'm sure you can, is what I mean, and think that I sound like I need some things, call me up, write me, and let me know. I want to be the best child of God that I possibly can be for the Lord, and I know you do too. So the Lord be with you, and thank you for listening today. The Lord bless you and your family, and pay your bills and keep a roof over your head, give you your clothes like He promised, and He does, and bless you and give you a smile on your face and joy in your heart. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.